Isaiah 45, verse 2. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. Verse 3, I will give you the treasures of darkness. There's treasure in the darkness. There's treasure in the darkness. Hold on to that. Mark 4, verse 1. Jesus, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and he sat it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and he said to them in this teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Some seed will spring up quick, but there's no depth. Some seed, the birds, he says later on, he says the birds are demons. Some seed, the demons will come and they'll steal the seed. Verse 5, some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. When things get hot, if you don't have depth, you won't last. If you don't go deeper, you won't last. You got to let your roots grow down deep in him. That's why we talk about this all the time. Get planted in God's house. Those who are planted in his house will be fresh and flourishing all the days of their lives, still producing fruit in their old age, like palm trees, like the cedars of Lebanon. That's a promise. That's from his word. He wants that for you. If you don't feel like you're fresh and flourishing, if you don't feel like you're thriving, if you just feel like you're surviving, then part of that, you might need to just check yourself and say, am I really planted in God's house? Or am I kind of half in, half out? Am I just bouncing from house to house? It doesn't matter which house you're a part of. We say this all the time. You need to be a part of a house. A house is the church. It's the body. This is a house. Revival is a house. It doesn't matter what building we're in. We're a house of God's people. And so if you're new here, I give this challenge all the time. Try this 3 weeks. Try this 3 weeks. And even maybe journal. Journal about your experience. Being planted in God's house. Just try it for 3 weeks. And just see. Test him and see. You'll see. Taste and see. He's good. When you're a part of him, when you're planted in the house, and you start to let your roots grow down deep, you'll see your life is more fruitful. But you got to give it time also, because if you just kind of let your roots grow down a little, if you don't have depth of soil, if you don't have deep roots, you're not going to last. When things get hot, you're going to jump. You're going to be like, nope, see, this wasn't for me. God wasn't for me. God didn't do it like I thought he was going to do. He didn't show up like I thought he was going to show up. There's no depth there. You got to let the roots grow down. You got to form depth. You need healthy soil. When the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Who are you surrounding yourself with? You can be planted in God's house, but if you're still surrounded by thorns in every other area of your life, guess what? The thorns are going to win out. The thorns are going to tell you, what are you doing on Sunday? Why are you doing that? What you're doing, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference. We know who you really are. We're with you on Friday night. We're with you on Saturday. We've seen how you act Monday through Friday. I've seen you play pickup basketball. I know who you really are. We all have those people in our lives. And if you're constantly surrounded by them, and you're not balancing that out, being planted in God's house, being planted with his people, getting into community and growing deep roots with God's people, then the thorns are going to choke you out. God never says, no, run away from the thorns. No. We're supposed to go and reach and save the lost, yes. But if you are only surrounded in your life by thorns, by the loss, and all you ever hear is negativity, or all you ever hear is God can't do that. God doesn't move like that anymore. God doesn't do that. In fact, they might not even say that they're lost. They might say that they are believers. They're religious. If they deny the power of God, that's another gospel. Because he still moves, he still sets free, he still saves, he still heals, and he still delivers. We've seen it in this house. That's what kind of house this is. I love this house. We've seen miracles. We've seen salvation. And we're just seeing the first fruits. We're young. But God is bringing a harvest in this house. But it's only for those who stay planted. It's only for those who let their roots grow down deep into the soil. It's rich with nutrients. If we would just stay planted and stay faithful, there is treasure in the darkness. What's a seed have to do? A seed has to get under the earth. A seed has to get deep down into the earth. Is there any place darker? No. What's a seed do when it gets down into the earth? A seed dies. If you want to be planted in God's house, you got to get planted deep into the soil, and you have to die to yourself. But there's treasure in the darkness. Ooh. There's treasure in the darkness. If you'll just die to yourself, I'm promising you, because I've seen it in my life. I've seen it. He brings it about. He brings the growth. If you'll just stay planted, if you'll stay planted even in the darkness, I'm telling you, he's going to bring it about. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out. Be careful, be wise about who you hang out with, how often you hang out with these people. If they're religious people, that's the most dangerous kind of people, because they think they know the truth. You have to be very careful. You have to be shrewd. Shrewd as a serpent, innocent as a dove in how you walk in this world. That's discernment. Be wise about who you walk with in this world. Are they people that are building up your faith? You know what I try to do in my life? I try to get myself around people that are going to build my faith up. When I'm away from these people, I feel it. I feel doubt creeping in. I feel it. I feel skepticism. I feel cynicism. I feel a critical heart building in me. That's religion. If you're in here today even, and you experience this, maybe through worship, maybe in worship, you came in and this is your first time in this house, and you're like, whoa, these people are a little weird. They're kind of jumping up and down, and they got their hands in the air. You know, this is Nebraska. This is the Midwest. We're just supposed to kind of sit here and just, like, you know, be entertained. Like, we're not supposed to participate. That's not what his word says. His word says we lift high and holy hands to him. We bless his name. We praise his name. We worship him with our mouth. We bow to our knees. And it looks ridiculous to the world, and it looks ridiculous to religion. And so if you came in today and you kind of felt that, this isn't judgment against you. I just want to warn you, because I love you, and you're here today for a reason. God has you here for a reason. You are supposed to hear this. Religion's got to go. It's not you, it's the Spirit. You think it's the Holy Spirit, it's a religious spirit. Religious spirit, leave right now in the name of Jesus. You command it. You have authority. You have authority in Christ. He is up in the heavenly realms. And guess what? You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. So all powers, all principalities, they're beneath your feet. Religion is underneath your feet. There's a spirit of religion, and it mimics the Holy Spirit. It's a lying, deceiving spirit. Do not fall for that spirit. So if you felt that today, if you felt that criticism or that cynicism building up inside of you, that judgmental attitude, kind of looking around like, I don't really like how they worship. I don't like what is going on up there. Let me tell you, this house, we're only getting rowdier and rowdier. Like we are. Like we're going to dance like David. We're going to dance like David, unashamed. And I'm telling you, you can be a David or you can be a Michael. What was Michael doing? His wife. That was a woman's name back in the day. Some of you are like, whoa, David? Like, yeah, it was a woman. Don't worry. All right. David and Michael, they were married in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Michael is looking down and she sees David dancing unashamedly before the ark of the Lord. What did the ark carry? His presence. When we come to gather, we worship his presence because he's here. We know it. He lives within us. He is here. We come and we take his presence seriously. We aren't just playing games. We aren't just playing church. That's religion. We aren't just checking off the box. That's religion. No, religion's under our feet. We're up in the heavenly places with our Savior. He has lifted us up. We've ascended above this world. So now we walk in all authority and power and dominion over these powers and principalities because they bow at the name of Jesus. They submit to the name of Jesus. So if you felt that today, this isn't a rebuke. This is an encouragement to invite the Holy Spirit in and to tell the religious spirit to leave. You could do that today. I'm telling you, there is power. The power of life and death is in the tongue. When you begin to speak these things, you begin to say them and declare them over your life will change. You can't just say them in your mind, though. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, He knows what's going on in your mind. The devil, the enemy, they don't know what's going on in your mind. You have to speak it. You have to declare it and say, no, I'm walking with Jesus. I don't want the religious spirit anymore. You might have left an open door in your life and you didn't even realize it. Somewhere along the way, you might have given the enemy permission to have authority in your life, but now I'm telling you, Christ is saying you can revoke that permission. He's saying you can walk in my authority because you're my son and you're my daughter. So revoke the permission that you gave the enemy to speak lies to you. The enemy, they can't hear your thoughts, but they can speak thoughts to you. They can whisper lies to you. Take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. That's what Paul tells us in Corinthians. That is spiritual warfare. We're not walking in the flesh. We're not walking in the carnal. We're walking in the Spirit by the Spirit. And so when you feel those thoughts creeping in and you think they're your thoughts, no. You have authority. You have the power to take those thoughts captive and say, you don't belong here. You're not of Christ. You're not of the Holy Spirit. I am walking with Him. I love Him. I'm following Him all the days of my life. Man, today's a good day. Like, it is. It is. Some of you are getting set free today. Like, there's been stuff building up in your heart, and it's getting broken right now. I know this because I was the most judgmental, critical, hypocritical Christian that there ever was. I mean, I did youth ministry for years in a church. I'm Michelle, I see you. Don't worry about it. All right, I know. Michelle says I'm too hard on myself sometimes. She says, you're too hard on yourself back when you were at Stonebridge and you were a youth pastor. I just know I've experienced a greater level of freedom in my life that I didn't know was possible. And I'm telling you, He's got that for you today. Some of you came in here today and you kind of, the best you've ever hoped for is, well, I just need to get to heaven. Like, this life is hard. This life, nothing goes my way. Nothing, you know, ever goes right. Like, it's just difficult and it's just tough and I'm just trying to survive. No. He doesn't want that for you. He doesn't. He wants you to be fresh and flourishing. He wants you to be planted in His house. He wants you, when the enemy comes, that you just laugh and you scoff at the enemy because you walk in the full authority of Jesus. That's what He wants for your life. That's what He has for you today. So I know that because there were so many things blocking my heart. And I remember in the season in between when my old ministry job ended, and before we knew whether or not God was really calling us into beginning revival, my wife and I, we took a few weeks. It was the first time I hadn't worked in a church in 13 years. And we took a few weeks and we just kind of went to some other churches. And we just, you know, we were just there. And it was just a different experience when you go from working in a church to just, hey, I'm just here and I'm just, you know, I just want to be here, be in the room. And all we found ourselves doing is, like, as soon as we'd get in the car after church was over, we would just both kind of, we each had made a checklist in our heads of everything wrong with that church. Like, everything, like, we would do better. That was religion. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was a religious spirit. And so we just got into the car and we'd say, oh, yeah, can you believe the music, or can you believe this or that? You know, it was a religious spirit. And that's why I can tell you today, if you're in here and you're feeling that and you're having some of those thoughts, I'm telling you, that's not the Holy Spirit. And those are not holy thoughts. That's a religious spirit. But you can walk away from that. You can get free from that. He wants you to walk in freedom, not in religion. He doesn't have that for your life. Verse 8, Mark 4, verse 8. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up. It sprang up. It ascended. In the Greek, that's what that word is. It sprang up. It ascended. Increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That word in the Greek, I said it last week, I'll say it again. It's anabahino. It means to go up, to ascend. I go up, mount, ascend. I rise. We rise on the wings of eagles. But some of us, we just live in the dirt. We just live in the muck, and we think this is the best we can experience. This is the best we can walk in until Jesus comes back or until I die and go to heaven. No, no, no. He's got more for you. He's got more for you today. Luke 13, verse 6. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, and he found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. If you want to be fruitful, if you want to be fruitful, in the King James Version, it really says this. But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and dung it. I got to dung it. If you got to be fruitful, sometimes you got to get dunged on, all right? Like, it's true. It's true. Like, that's what his word says. But I'm telling you, there's treasure in the darkness. Like, you might be a seed, you might be a tree, you might be buried, and it might feel like you're getting dung thrown on top of you. But this is how he makes you more fruitful. What does he do? He's a gardener. He prunes us. Do you think pruning feels good? No. It does not feel good. You think the tree is just like, oh, yes, cut me, please. Like, yes. If the tree had words, is he saying, oh, yeah, those big scissors you're bringing towards me? Yeah, yeah, please bring those. No, no, no. If the tree could speak, he would cry out. No, don't do that. That's going to hurt. But it's for your good. It's for fruitfulness. There's treasure in the darkness. There's treasure when you're buried under a heap of dung. If you haven't been fruitful in your life, I'm telling you, in those moments of darkness, in those moments when it feels like the world is throwing its dung on top of you, no, 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 it's the gardener. It's the gardener taking care of you. Oh, man. In my darkest moments, I can look back and I can see his hand on my life now. In my darkest moments, I can look back and I can see what he was doing. But it didn't make sense in the moment. In the moment, it felt like I was surrounded by darkness. It didn't make sense. I was mad. I was angry. And I was crying out to him, God, what are you doing? But it's like Moses in Exodus 33. Look at this. Exodus 33. I'm sorry again. I don't have this one up here for you guys. If you don't have a Bible, we got Bibles. We give them away in the back all the time. Get one before you leave. Exodus 33, verse 18. This is Moses and Yahweh speaking. Verse 18, and he said, please show me your glory. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. This hit me today. There's so many times in my life that I just was living in the darkness and I couldn't see what was going on. And then all of a sudden it was like God took his hand off and I saw him as he was leaving and I realized what he had done. His glory had passed in that moment. What I thought was terrible, what I thought was trouble, he was using it for my good. That's what he does in those moments. That's what he's doing in that moment right now for you. You don't see it, you don't understand it, but someday his hand is going to lift and you're going to see him passing by and you're going to see what he did in the darkness, how he was still working, how he was exposing the treasures that are buried in the darkness. It's treasure. But you have to stay planted. Stay rooted in him. Let your roots grow down deep within him. If you're in that moment of darkness right now and you're not sure what he's doing, stay patient. Stay patient. Because someday his hand is going to lift and all of a sudden you're going to see his glory and you're going to see what he did in that moment. And you're going to look back in the darkest moments of your life, you're going to praise him for. Because he works all things together for the good of those who love him. Loving him means we stay patient. We stay planted. If you love me, obey my commandments. We don't obey his commandments to be saved. We obey his commandments because we've been saved. Because he's a good father. Because he wants a good life for us. I do this all the time with my kids. I keep teaching them over and over. When we give them rules, when we give them directions or guidance, and they don't like it, they don't agree with it, we have to explain to them the why. And sometimes they have to learn the hard way. Sometimes they learn after the fact and they realize and they come to us and they say, oh, I get it now. Like I didn't get it in the moment, but I can see why you told me that. I can see why you gave me that direction. I can see why you gave me that rule in the house. It wasn't to keep me from fun. It wasn't to keep me from joy. It was to protect me and preserve me so that I can go on living in fullness, living in joy. His word is a light upon our path. Worship team, I'll invite you guys up as we get ready here. Exodus 20, verse 18. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you. And that his fear may be before you so that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Because Moses knew. What did he know? There's treasure in the darkness. There's treasure in the darkness. God's presence can be found in the darkness. If you'll lean into him, into the darkest moments of your life, if you'll just continue to lean in to him, draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. You'll find him. There's treasure in the darkness. That word keeps standing out to me. It's a test. Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you. Sometimes the darkness is a test. Will you stay faithful? Will you keep walking with him? Will you keep learning what it means to listen to his voice? 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to skip down to verse 9. For to this end I also wrote that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Don't be ignorant of the devil's schemes. Be aware of how he works, how he wants to entrap you. He doesn't have authority over you. But if you give him access to your life, if you open the door, if you give him a foothold, he loves to work through unforgiveness. If you got unforgiveness in your heart today, today's the day to come clean, to repent, to pray a blessing over that person that you've been holding that anger against, that you've been holding that unforgiveness against, to just release them, to let them off the hook. Let them off the hook today. James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Stay patient in the dark, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That word for testing in the Greek, it was originally used to refer to the testing of coins, confirming if a coin was genuine or if it was counterfeit. There's a test in the darkness. When you're walking through trials, when you're walking through these moments, are you genuine or are you a counterfeit? I want to be genuine. I want to be genuine. Lord, make our hearts genuine. Lord, let us walk in obedience to your voice. Give us strength. Give us patience to walk through the trials, to walk through the temptation. James 1:12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Having stood the test. That word for trials in the Greek means to be tried, tested, tempted. It also ties back to calamity and affliction. Isaiah 45, verse 2. We're going to close here. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness. There's treasures in the darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have been called. I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God beside me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that you may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Rain down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation. Would God's people, would you arise right now as we get ready to worship, and let righteousness spring up together. Let it ascend. Let righteousness ascend. Righteousness will ascend from the darkness. It will ascend from the ground. If you will bury your life in Christ, if you will die to yourself, he will raise you new. You can ascend today. You can rise above. He invites you up into dominion over all powers, all principalities in this world. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Stop striving with him. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherd of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Should we say that to the Lord? What are you making? What are you doing? No, no, no. You just say, yes, Lord. I'm going to walk in obedience in every season of life, whether it's in the darkness or in the light, whether I've been buried or whether I'm ascending. I'm believing. I'm going to hold on to the promises of your word because I know it's true. I know you are true. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to the woman, what have you brought forth? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. You command me. I have made the earth and created man on it. I, my hand, stretched out the heavens, and and all their host I have commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city and let my exiles go free, not for the price nor reward, says the Lord of hosts. I'm just believing. He's raising us up in this hour. We know we're in the last days. Whether he comes back or we go to him, we know we're in the last days. And I'm just praying that he will raise this church up, his church, that we'd be a bride clothed in white, that we would be genuine and not counterfeit, that we would carry the oil all the days of our lives, that we would just be ready. Be ready because he's coming back. He's in the room right now. Let's praise him. Come on.